Rewind Podcast. My name is J. Matthew Barnes. The goal of New Wine is simply this: to talk about what it looks like to follow Jesus in the real world. This is podcast number 14, and here's the question we'll try to answer this time. What is vision, and what does it have to do with following Jesus well? Vision is talked about all the time these days. Businesses, nonprofits, entrepreneurs, churches, families, and random individuals all seem to have and to publicize vision statements. Wonderful leadership gurus have blogs, podcasts, books, Medium posts, and YouTube videos waxing brilliantly about vision. In other words, vision has become a popular buzzword at large. For years and years, it was a business world only buzzword, but now it has moved over to the uninitiated populace. And since much of my adult life has been spent in the weird little bubble of the church world, I can say without any equivocation that churches everywhere and church culture at large are both obsessed with vision. Now, it might sound like I think this is a bad thing, but nothing could be further from the truth. Vision is vitally important for a person, a family, a business, or even a church to succeed, however one defines that. Vision can create an attractive picture of the future that can figuratively pull a person or organization forward. Vision can help build momentum. And an absence of vision is easy to spot. Either a person or organization is in the total tailspin zone, or they are simply spinning their wheels, happily toiling away at an amorphous goal for whatever reason. Or as it's put in the book of Proverbs in the Bible, where there is no vision, the people perish. And friends, none of us wants to perish. Instead, as individuals and organizations, we desperately want to succeed. We want to move forward, to build momentum, and we want to follow Jesus well. But how? How do we find or get or create vision? How do we even talk about vision, for that matter? To begin to understand vision, whether as individuals or as organizations, I think it would be wise for us to start in three places: a prominent graduate school of business, a highly successful and visible leadership guru, and a fast-growing recent church plant. Let's start with the business school, the Stanford Graduate School of Business. This business school just so happens to be ranked number one by U.S. News and World Reports. Here's what Stanford Graduate School of Business says about vision. Vision is a clear and specific, compelling picture of what the organization will look like at a specific time in the future, 1, 2, or 5 years, including those key metrics that define success. It defines key results achieved and yet to be accomplished, the expected impact to the clients, and it describes specific behaviors that the organization must display to be successful. A clear vision delimits potential strategies. It helps define what's within or outside of the organization's bounds. Now, there's so much that's good there. In my opinion, there are a few key words that really stand out. Here are a few of them. Compelling. A vision must be attractive and help a person or organization gravitate toward it. Another one is specific time. A vision is something in the future, but not some indefinite future. It has a deadline. Metrics that define success. A vision is what will show a person or organization when success has been reached. Thus, success needs to be definable and measurable. And then the last one, what's within or outside. A vision doesn't include everything, only those things that are within the purview of the person or organization making the vision. An understanding of vision like this can be one of the keys to unlocking real potential and can help people and organizations understand what strategies to pursue as they go about their mission, that is, what they exist to do. Next, the leadership guru, Michael Hyatt. Michael is a former CEO and chairman of a large publishing company who now is a successful entrepreneur, virtual coach, writer, speaker, and podcaster. Michael talks about vision like this. What you need is a vision that's so big that it's compelling, not only to others, but to you. If it's not compelling, you won't have motivation to stay the course, and you won't be able to recruit others to help you, unquote. He also says this about creating a vision. He says, quote, write down what you would like to see happen. Write it down in detail. If you can, use all five senses. Write it in the present tense, as though it has already happened. This will make it more believable to you, unquote. Again, there's so much great stuff there. Here are some of the things that stick out to me. Compelling. This word again. A vision needs to be attractive to others and to you. The next word is big. A vision needs to be large, grandiose even. It needs to push us beyond our comfort zone. Motivation. A vision that works will help people persevere even in the face of adversity. In detail. A vision needs to be spelled out, not left vague and ambiguous. And then lastly, senses. A vision should be appealing in a variety of ways. I love the way that Michael talks about appealing to all five senses when writing a vision. Now, while Michael is primarily talking about building a private vision statement, this certainly could be applied to an organization or to a church. In fact, the primary example he uses in the blog post where I got these quotes was from his time at the publishing company. In other words, it seems that some of the truths about vision are transferable from organizations to people and vice versa, and that they're scalable. Last in this section is the recent and fast-growing church plant, Passion City Church in the Atlanta, Georgia area. Here's a small taste of their vision. They, quote, want to reach the city, our city, by being the kinds of people who live irresistible lives. Our desire is to be people who understand that what people need most is Jesus. Thus, we have injected into the fabric of our house the winsome spirit, the desire to be and to do whatever is necessary to reflect the life and love of Jesus to the world. Now, while I have some basic problems with this vision, it's not time-oriented, it's not easily measurable, etc., there are some things that I love about it. Here are a few. They say, our city. A vision needs to demonstrate that a person or organization is taking ownership of their immediate context. I like these two phrases, irresistible lives and winsome spirit. A vision needs to have compelling language like this. Phrases like these could be repeated multiple times each week, could be put in all of the publications, could be used in every single bit of communication. And then lastly, it says, whatever is necessary. A vision needs to be realistic about potential roadblocks. Passion City Church has taken a very positive approach to sharing this usually negative reality. They say that they want to do whatever is necessary to fulfill this vision. Now, Passion City Church's vision statement has some flaws and holes even, but it is, in its own way, quite compelling, and the church leadership could use it to help tighten and normalize language all throughout their organization. Now, an immediate problem with all this talk about vision is this. Where does a vision come from? As a follower of Jesus, I'm convinced that this process has a human component and a divine component. The person or teams of people tasked with vision casting, which is just a sexy way of saying coming up with and then sharing a vision statement, these people should pray and use their brains too. Now, some of us are more likely to use one of those things or the other. There are way too many Christians who swear that they hear directly from the Lord, which can be a problem with vision creating and casting. If this person who hears directly from the Lord is part of an organization, how can anyone speak into that vision that they've, quote, been given, unquote, if it supposedly came directly from God? Now, to call that vision into question would be calling the vision recipient into question, which could end quite badly, especially if that person is the top-level leader. But others of us are much more inclined to fall back on best practices, leadership principles, business know-how, and common sense. Sure, we might pray, but generally speaking, we sometimes create a vision and then ask God to bless it afterward. Instead of all of that, wouldn't it be better if during each part of the vision creating process, we used reason and prayed? Would it be better to seek out what God wants and to use the tools He gave us as well? The answer, of course, is that we need to do both, use reason and we need to connect with God. And to ignore one or the other is doing a disservice to ourselves and to those whom we lead. But how then should we go about creating and then pursuing a vision? Here are some tips that I've absorbed from others over the years and practiced on my own. Number one, carve out time. Take half a day, a full day, a week, or even a month. Use all the spare time that you can to think about the direction you want to go. Now, this may be difficult with responsibilities and the tyranny of the urgent, etc., but it will be worth it in the end. Number two, first, answer the mission question, the what do I or we exist to do question. Another way of saying this would be this, create a mission statement. But a more laid-back approach would be to write down what it is that you or your organization does or should do. That's your mission. As followers of Jesus, we have a pretty straightforward mission, to make disciples. Thus, as individual Christians and as Christian organizations, making disciples should probably be a key component of our mission statements. Number three, imagine futuristically. Imagine what your local context would be like if you or your organization lived out your mission well over the next 2 or 5 or 10 years. What would your local context look like if that were true? What would it feel like? What would change? What would be better? What would success look like? Answers to these questions and questions like them is the fodder for creating the actual vision statement. Number four, create the vision statement. Now it's time to actually write it out, which may take a few days or even longer. It's okay if your vision is a paragraph in length, 2 to 5 standard size lines in a word processor. Make your language clear, specific, and evocative. Run through lots of drafts. Show them to trusted friends and advisors. Take their notes into consideration. Then, finally, write a final draft. Number five, share it. Now it's time to share this vision with others wholesale. Print it everywhere that makes sense. Put it on your website. Talk about it during internal and external speeches. It's really hard to over-communicate a vision. Really focus in on the most compelling phrases and words. It's important that the language is inspiring, poetic even. And if you're making a personal or family vision statement, it would be good to share it with a few trusted friends that can help hold you accountable to that vision. Number six, revisit it. It would be best to revisit your vision statement every single day, whether as an individual or an organization. This way, the vision statement can stay at the forefront of your thinking, and it can continue to influence the way you talk about what you do and what you're about. But it would also be wise to set a calendar notification to revisit your vision statement formally. When this time comes, sit down with it and read through it again. Have you or the organization made progress toward the vision? If so, celebrate that progress. Tell your friends, send out a newsletter to your employees, supporters, or coworkers. If you haven't made that much progress, that's okay. Remember, your vision was supposed to be big. Big things sometimes take time to accomplish. So if you still have quite a ways to go, no worries. Use this as an opportunity to evaluate what you are doing. Are your actions pointed toward this vision or toward something else? Can you do better? Does this vision statement need adjusting? I think a good time frame to do this revisiting process formally is every 6 months. So that's it. A vision is a compelling picture of the future that helps draw you or your organization toward it. And a good vision statement can help you stay focused on what's important on a day-to-day basis as well as on a strategic level. In other words, a vision is a goal that's worth pursuing. Thanks for exploring the topic of vision with me. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, then please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever else you consume it. And also check out my website, jmatthewbarnes.com. That's jaymatthewbarnes.com. And while you're at my website, get a free 2-week devotional on 1 John that I've written called On Mission in 1 John. There should be a bar at the top of the screen where you can enter your email address so that you will be emailed a download link. Thanks so much for your time, grace, and peace.